You tonight, Lord God, to bring forth what's needed to be heard. So we thank you for that in advance. We give you our hearts and open our eyes and understanding that we may walk in the fullness of all the benefits you've given unto us. Thank you for it. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about healing being the will of God. We talked about a number of things in the last several weeks, but it's building blocks, what we're talking about. They're building blocks, and that's the willingness of God is number one. We talked about the addition, how we learn things in school. You learn addition first and then subtraction. And then multiplication and division, then you go up into fractions. You just work your way up, right? And then what very first thing, can you guys see this over here? Okay. The very first thing that we're looking at here, this kindergarten block, is God's willingness to heal. And we've been talking about that for the last couple weeks, Jesus' ministry, seeing that he is the will of God in action. He only did what the Father said to do. He only said what he told him to say. Amen? We ought to set that as a goal in our life. Amen? To move in the direction that God has for us, to say what he has for us to say. Amen? It's not an unachievable goal. Amen? We can do it. But to look at Jesus is the absolute prime example of the will of God in the earth. And then we talked about that he's a rewarder. But we are going to continue on with the idea that he is willing to heal. Let's see, the last few weeks, we talked about the actions of Jesus. We saw the different types. We just looked at a couple of them. We looked at the brazen serpent in Numbers 21 and the Passover lamb. We looked at that. And these were types. There were pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament revealing the will of God in the New Testament. Amen? We saw his actions carried out. And then we saw the words of Jesus in Matthew 1:41. He says, "I am willing." Amen. All throughout the Word of God, he never, ever one time says, "Nope, I'm not willing to heal you. Nope, I don't want to do it." Amen? You search the Scriptures and see. He never turns someone away. Aren't you glad? We can take that out of that equation altogether. It is his will 100% of the time that we be healed and whole. So what we're going to look at tonight is God's redemption for us, the plan of redemption. And healing is in the plan of redemption, and it's for absolutely everyone. There's no one left out in it. Amen. He is the Savior of the world. Even those that go to hell, even those that choose against him, yes, he paid the price to save them. Amen. People are not going, what they're going to be amazed at when judgment falls is that they didn't go to hell because of their sin. The sin was paid for. The sin was paid for by Jesus. They went, they choose to go by refusing the payment made for their sin. Amen. The penalty was paid for. He paid a tremendous price he's not willing that any would perish. Amen. So he paid the price for all of us. Does that mean everyone gets to go to heaven? Everyone that believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. But if you reject him, if you refuse him, if you do not accept what he's done for you, then you pay the penalty for your own sin. Amen. It's sad, isn't it? Because he's the Savior of the world. He's the Deliverer of the world. He's the Healer of the world. He came, man fell, spirit, soul, and body. We've been redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. On every level, he paid the price that we could walk in fullness, in complete health, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, on every realm. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He doesn't want any of us to lack. Amen. He's paid for it all. And it's in his plan. If we look at Isaiah 53, it is the messianic prophecy. The very first verse, it gives you the prerequisite here to receive. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm, the strength, the power of God revealed? Well, it's a rhetorical question. The one that believes the report is the one that sees the power of God revealed in their life. Amen? Amen. So, we'll just... Let's go ahead and I'm just going to read through verse 4 here, maybe 5. For he, this is talking about Jesus, this was hundreds of years before he died. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, some of the pictures that have been painted of Jesus where this halo and this glow around him are not true. Amen. It says here in the Word of God, you're not going to be drawn to him like that. Amen. You're not going to see those things. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, this is the verse I wanted to get to, he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. This is prophetic words from the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus came and did this. But he paid the price in full. And there's a couple of scriptures or words that I want to write down here. It says, surely he hath bore our griefs. And that word griefs is the Hebrew word Chloe. And it actually is translated several places elsewhere, sickness. And then the other word that I want to look at in here is the word sorrows. And that is the word in Hebrew, makab. And another way to translate that out is pain. So really, we would do no damage in the scriptures, and it actually is a better translation if we read it like this. Surely he hath bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Amen. Sometimes when people read sorrows and griefs, they don't get the picture that's painted there in the Hebrew that he really paid for our physical being. When death, sin entered in, the Word of God tells us death did also. That was the beginning stage, the incipient stage of death was through sickness and disease. And that came in through sin. There was no sickness or disease. There was no corruption at all in this world when Jesus came, when God walked with man on the earth before sin entered in. There were no deformities, no abnormalities. God created our bodies to heal themselves, to work perfectly. Amen. There really is a healing system within your own body, the way he created us and put us together. God created us to last. It says in the once the span of man's life was set, it was 120 years. And we have medical evidence that says man's body should last 120 years. That if we worked it together, if we lived the way we're supposed to live, if we lived and walked in love, hallelujah, if we lived in a place where we live stress-free, 90% of all sickness, it's over 90%, but over 90% of all sickness and disease is stress-induced. We're releasing chemicals in our body. We're causing corruption in our own body. Amen. And that's not to deal with other things that self-destruct. Cigarettes and drinking and things like that, drugs and different things. Thank God for his mercy. Amen? Thank God. I don't know about you, but I thank God for his mercy and that the things that are in the past are in the past and we don't have to carry forward all of that. Amen? And we can believe for total redemption if we have done damage to ourselves in the past. But we're going to leave it in the past. We're not going to keep picking it back up. Amen? Because you pick it back up and play with it again, you can inflict more and more damage to your body. Right? And then when you're doing things that is causing damage to yourself, it's going to hinder your faith to be healed. If you know you're bringing it on. So we need to make some adjustments in our life. If there's things that we're doing that are self-inflicted, causing damage to ourselves, then we need to give that to God. I can't do that. I'm addicted. You can do all things, not in and of yourself, but through Christ. Amen. He gives us the grace. He gives us the ability. He anoints us. He equips us well. We are well able. Everything pertaining to life and godliness he's given unto us. So we can overcome addictions. We can overcome overeating. We can overcome sugar addiction. Oh, that's not a problem. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. But some things we kind of like to justify. And we don't want to give up. Do we have to? Only if God's dealing with you. But how do we know God's dealing with you? Because things will continue to come up. He'll remind you. God doesn't beat you down, but he prompts you by his Spirit. There's a gentle nudging. He'll bring information across your path. And then somebody else will come right on the heels of that and say something. And then before you know it, there's an article that comes to. You know that you pick up in a magazine and there it is again. Hallelujah. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. You know, but God has a way of confirming those things, bringing information to us and by the Holy Spirit revealing to us what we have need of. What changes need to take place in our life. Amen. And when he's doing that, if we would heed those warnings, if we would take that into account, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble down the road. How do I know? I've lived my own life. And I wish I could say I'm always have been on the victory side. But I've made some mistakes. I've made some choices, and it showed up later. Wow, if I would have stopped doing that, I wouldn't be dealing with this in my body. It shows up. Amen. But the Holy Spirit's going to warn you ahead of time. Amen. He shows you things to come. But sometimes we don't take the time to look at the full picture. And we need to. We need to hear from God, and we need to do it. We need to be in faith. Amen. And not beat ourselves up if we've missed it, but just pick it up and run with it again. Amen. And just do what we know to do. Amen. Amen. He's out to help us. Amen. Be victorious in all of these things. But surely he hath bore our griefs. Surely he hath bore our sicknesses. How did he bear them? If we look at Proverbs 20:31, it says, the blueness of a wound purgeth evil, and so do stripes the inward parts of the heart. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. What he bore on his back before he went to the cross brought healing for our bodies. It paid for it in full, completely. Those stripes were sufficient. Amen. If it was just our eternal life, if it was just paying the penalty for our sin, he could have gone to the cross without the stripes on his back. Right? Because that's what the cross was for. It paid for that. But before he went to the cross, he was beaten on our behalf. You know, it tells us that in Romans 8:2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Well, what is redemption? It's buying us back. If we really want to know the term, redemption is bringing deliverance through his death from guilt and the power of sin. The word exagorazo. Hallelujah. It means to buy, and it actually denotes the buyout, especially as purchasing a slave in view of his freedom. Jesus came and bought us out of the slave market of sin. We were tied. We had a master. Ye are of your father, the devil. Up until you received Jesus and made him master, we were of the world, under the submission of sin and the devil. When we chose Christ, we chose him. Amen. We made him Lord. We made him master of our life. We yielded ourselves to him. So we're no longer under that law of sin and death. We're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he wants us free from every aspect of life. He does not want us oppressed in any area. He doesn't want us weak. He doesn't want us just wore out to where we can't function and accomplish his will and plan and purpose for our life. He wants us walking the fullness of his call and purpose. What is that? Each one of us. There's a design for each one of us in this life. There's a plan. And I can't type it out and hand it to you. Don't you wish somebody could do that? Man, I'd pay a lot of money for that. But we have the greater one who's not going to miss it and who will speak specifically, just like, remember what Jesus did? That's how he lived. Hearing from the Spirit of God, getting the plan of God, and then walking that thing out. hearing what God had to say and then speaking that out. And he was a blessing everywhere he went. A blessing to those that wanted to be blessed. And stirring up. There was revival, a riot. The Pharisees didn't like it. Amen. So you can't judge that, oh, I'm not accepted 100% here. I must not be in the will of God. No, I'm telling you what. We're in a world and there's polar opposites going on here. Amen. There's the thief who comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So we're in a war zone here. We've got things going on here where the enemy wants to steal what God has rightfully given you. He would like to take you out. He'd like to kill you if he could. We got the greater one on the inside. Amen? We've got the resurrection power of God residing on the inside of us. Amen? We've got the Spirit of God living in us, and he's directing us. He's speaking to us. He's leading us. He's helping us in every possible way that could be made available to man. Amen? Aren't you glad? We're not out here dangling on our own, just grasping at straws, hoping we make it. If we're hooked into him, there's a flow of life. There's a divine flow of life coming to us. The vine and the branches, remember that? Right? If you're hooked into that vine, there's a life flow coming into that branch. You're hooked into him. So there's a constant movement of life in us and through us. Amen. The resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Amen. On the inside of you. It's always there. It's resident at all times. It doesn't go away. He doesn't take a day off. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Sometimes we're going through stuff and we don't feel because there's so much oppression. There's so much coming at us that if we look at the natural, if we look to our flesh, if we look to our emotions, sometimes we allow that to weigh heavier and we sense that more than we do the reality of our God. Amen. But our God said something. And he's not a man that he can lie. So what he says goes, whether we feel it or not. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No matter what you're going through, he's with you. You just kind of have to, okay, God, I'm in this and I need you. Amen? You just call out from the depths of your heart, God, please, show me what to do. Heal my hurts right now. Amen. Because what's the enemy want to do? Everything, every tragedy you go through in life, everything, he's out to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to stop you. He's out to stop the plan of God. He's out to halt what's going on. So what are you going to do about it? Let him? We got to gird ourselves up. Arrgh. Amen. We just got to get, I don't know what's the word, fighting mad on the inside. We got to bare our teeth. We got to just bite back. Amen. Just draw that line and just say, enough. I've had enough. I see where this is coming from. This is from the pit of hell, and you're not taking me out. Jesus paid a greater price for me than anything you can throw at me. Amen? We're victorious not in and of ourselves, but because we're in Christ Jesus, and we can't ever forget that we're in Christ Jesus. You're in him. Amen. He's in you. He's empowered you. He's anointed you. He's equipped you. He's flooded you with his presence, his very being. Amen. That resurrection, life-giving power is on the inside of you, on the inside of me. It's there. It's ready to go. We have to tap into it. Is he willing? He's more than willing. He gave his all. The plan of redemption was for all of us for all time. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the lamb that was slain. Before sin ever entered in, before you were ever in the situation you were in and have need of calling out to him, he already saw it and said, I'm going to pave the way. I'm going to put this plan in place. I'm going to come. I'm going to give my life and myself for you. Do you take it? Do you leave it? Do you ignore it? Do we play with it? What do we do with it? We got to take it at face value and say, yes, Lord, thank you. Because I can't get out of this by myself. Amen? But because he did it, because he paid the price, 100% for you and for me, we can count on it as done. Amen. It is finished. That doesn't mean you've got to get it. It is finished. When he wrote out this thing, when his will was accomplished and this covenant was cut, that's what he's saying, it's finished. The covenant has been cut. Amen. You have been redeemed. And I'm giving you this. That's all you got to do? You just grab hold? You think you can take that? Why? Because you want it. Is that good enough? You just want the will of God? Is that good enough? Absolutely. Absolutely. He willingly paid the price in full. So all you got to do is grab hold of that truth and say, it's mine. It's mine. I have it now. It's mine. I will not be denied. Amen. Yeah, but I've been dealing with this thing for so long. Yep. So draw the line in the sand, say enough. And you start getting aggressive against that thing. The fighting spirit of a man will sustain him with bodily pain and injury, but a weak spirit who can bear? What does that mean? That means you can't just lay down and play neutral to anything that comes against you. You got to, you got to get that fight in you. Amen? You got to go toe-to-toe with the enemy and say, not here. Arr. Just bare your teeth and bite right in. Amen? Just gird yourself up. This is mine, and I will have it. I will not be denied. When that slave market of sin, that's exactly what it was. If you can imagine a slave market, it was horrific how they used to do things. But they would parade these slaves up, and people would pick them out what they wanted, and they would buy them out to be their slave. Well, the picture and the word that's used there for redemption is that's exactly what it was. We were the slaves, and Satan was the slave owner. And Jesus went in and purchased us all to free us, to set us free. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. He paid the price for you, and he paid the price for me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Amen. But sometimes what people have done is gone right back under some of that old bondage. and get enslaved again. Man, if you see yourself getting entangled in anything, you just shake it off. Uh-uh. I'm free. I'm going to stay free. I'm not playing games here. Amen. He did it for keeps. And let him have us. Amen. Amen. So the messianic prophecies. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. I don't think we finished. We did read it, but I didn't really go through it. Let's just pick that up again. So surely he hath bore our, what? And carried our, hallelujah, sickness and pain. This is for you. Where did we go here? I lost it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. You were healed. Amen. Transgression is rebellion and sin and trespass. Iniquities is moral perversity, sin, evil, fault, mischief, punishment of iniquity. And chastisement is a reproof. It's a correction. It's a discipline. It's a rebuke. He covered it all. He covered every ugly attitude, every blatant sin. He covered it all. And if you, by chance, are continuing to beat yourself up because you missed it. Anybody here miss God besides me? Yeah. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, written to the believers, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. So all guilt and shame and condemnation, we're free from it. Why is that important? Because if you allow yourself to stay under that, you will allow yourself to stay under bondage and oppression, and you will open the door to stay sick and diseased in your life. You cannot stay under that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So soul, our mind, our emotions, intellect, our personality, our will, it's all in our soul. It's not our spirit. We're spirit beings. We live in a body, but the soul is what makes us all so different one from another. Amen. And if we are dealing with issues, if we're dealing with issues, if our soul is not prospering, then we are not going to be in good health. Amen. So we need to make that as high a priority. Sometimes what we have going on here is we're looking at seeking God for healing when we're sick in body. And we're, oh God, heal me, heal me, heal me. Well, he already has. We're finding that out, right? He's already paid for it. He's already delivered it unto us. Amen. Aren't you happy about that? So we just need to, by faith, how difficult was salvation? Are you saved in here? If you saved and you know it, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you have asked Jesus into your heart, if you've accepted what he's done on your behalf, then you're saved. Amen. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Christ Jesus is Lord. and you shall be saved. How difficult was that? Was that hard? Simple, right? Aren't you glad it was that easy? So why do we complicate it when it comes to healing? Why do we complicate it when it comes to receiving anything else from God? As though it's some big, strained, it's going to really take our faith for this. Do we complicate it sometimes? We do. We sure do. If he bought it and paid for it and delivered it unto us, if he spread that banquet table out before us, if he laid the healing bread on the table, and it, all our part is to partake of that by faith. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. What's communion? It's putting ourselves in remembrance of his shed blood and his broken body. Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because as you do that, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So from the time he died until he comes again, we're supposed to put ourselves in remembrance of what he's done. We partake of that bread. Is it magic in the bread? What is it? It's remembrance. Forget not all your benefits, who heals all your diseases. When you partake of that bread, you're remembering his body was broken for mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. That your body was broken, that you suffered so I don't have to. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for taking that penalty. Amen. Thank you that your resurrection, life-giving power is now inside of me. Thank you that it's working right now, driving all sickness and disease and weakness and infirmities far from me. Amen. Amen. What is that? We're activating by faith. Amen. We're keeping, we're moving that thing around. That's faith. Thanksgiving is faith. Remembering, setting it up there is faith. You look like you're about ready to jump out of your chair. You got something?
Is it okay if somebody wants to love you that you let them love you? You got to let them love you. Because somebody wants to love you. You ever been out with somebody and let's say you're at the gas station getting a cup of coffee or you're at a restaurant or something, and somebody steps up and they want to pay for you. Or you try to pay for someone else and they go, oh, no, no, that's okay. No, I really want to pay. No, no, I can't let you. No, well, will you just let me pay? No, no, really, no, I'm not going to. That's how some people treat healing. God says, I want to pay. Let me pay. Oh, no, no, that's okay. You know, I got it covered. I'm okay. I can deal with this. I remember one lady came up to Brother Hagin, and she had a bunch of stuff that was wrong with her, And so she asked for a couple of things for him to pray for her about in her body. And then she was holding back. And he mentioned, well, shall we deal with this? Oh, no, 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 I'm fine with that, she said. I'm glad to be rid of the other stuff, but I can handle this. She wanted to handle that on her own. And a lot of people, sickness works for them, gets them out of a lot of stuff. Or they feel guilty and they want to pay for it themselves. It's kind of like, I haven't been as good as Christian as I could have. Don't you know I deserve this? That's called self-righteousness. You know, people will do that, though. They'll feel guilty, and then they'll feel like, well, I've paid for part of it from the suffering I'm going through. And the only suffering that's really found in the Bible is suffering our own flesh when we tell it no, or suffering persecution. There's no suffering that deals with financial ruin or sickness. And a lot of people lump it together. They think, well, if I'm suffering, that must be I'm suffering for Christ. You're not suffering for Christ if you're suffering for something that was prepaid by Him. That is just crazy. I don't even know how people can wrap their brain around that, think that somehow they have to hurt too. Not true. If it's paid, it's paid. Nothing you can do about it but accept it. God wants you well. If He could handle the biggie, which is taking you from death to life, taking you from darkness to light, if He could transform your going to hell body into a going to heaven body, the other stuff is easy. You understand? All the other stuff is lesser than that. And we've already covered the biggest thing. So we can't make it bigger than that. But God already has expressed His love for us. And for us to wrap our head around that, we want to seem to grab on and do it ourselves. When they were writing the New International Version of the Bible years ago, they got to this verse. And there was about 200 people that were involved in that translation. And so they got to the point where they're ready to write sickness and pain. And the majority of them said, no, we can't do that. We're going to go with the other words. And they said, but those aren't the original. In Hebrew, it's sickness and pain. And they said, no, we can't, we won't. And they said, if you don't put it to sickness and pain, we're going to quit. We're not going to help you translate the rest of the New International. And they said, well, we can't, because if we do that, if we put down what it really is, we'll have to go back to our churches and change our church doctrine that Jesus took our sickness and our pain. They didn't want to change their church doctrine, so they left it obscure. So a couple of the guys said, we're done, we're out of here, and they quit and walked out and never helped them translate the rest of the New International Bible. Isn't that nuts? They got to the point where they were trying to protect some of their religious teaching. So I don't want to protect any of my old religious teaching. It kept us sick, it kept us broke, and we thought somehow we were suffering for God. We were suffering. I've shared this before, but there's a friend of ours many years ago, close to 40 now, decided that she had difficulty with some medical issues to the point where she's in a wheelchair. And she's lived in a wheelchair for the better part of the last 35 to 40 years, and wherever she goes, she has a crowd of people around her trying to help her and push her and stuff. She can walk, but she's in this wheelchair because, oh, of her pain, and I can't do this and whatever, and she's promoting this idea, and she promotes it on Facebook. I'm suffering for Jesus. I've been suffering for Jesus. Whatever He wants, I want to renew my vows with my husband. He's stuck by me in all my suffering, and He'll walk down the aisle with me again in my wheelchair. She can walk down the aisle. She's made a living out of suffering. Because of her suffering, then she can have her disability, but they can't really find anything. So with her, she's at the position where she's going to walk into heaven expecting this huge reward for decades of suffering, and she's going to find out she's got zip. They go, where's my reward for suffering those 40 years? And the answer would be, there isn't any reward for that suffering. You did that yourself. Suffering when you say no to your flesh, or suffering persecution, is definitely scriptural. This other stuff, it isn't there. Jesus Christ didn't walk around sick, did He? No. Did He walk around broke? Well, He just had a rock for a pillow. Are you kidding me? They didn't even want to tear His clothes. They were so fancy at the cross. Judas was stealing from the treasury and getting away with it. How much money was in there that he could take money all the time? They were constantly giving to wherever they went. That is a very wealthy group. He became poor that we might become rich. The poor that He became was that He left heaven to come here. But here, He wasn't poor here. He was poor in the relationship to where he had come from. He was actually pretty well off on planet Earth and healthy. And he's our example. And a lot of people cringe. They don't think they deserve being completely healthy. They don't believe they deserve all the blessings of God in the financial realm because they look at themselves. That's self-righteous again. You got to simply accept the mercy of God in your life and say, I can't do anything about this but accept it. God is so merciful. He withholds penalty. He just wants you up and moving and well and having a pretty good life. Functional while we're at it. Hallelujah. You know, why don't we put on the video and then you can have some closing comments after that. Okay? Disorder is not where somebody says, oh, I think they're mentally ill. Not at all. People with bipolar disorder or manic depression, they're oriented. They know who they are. They know what day it is. They know who the president is. They know all these things. It's just that their emotions reach a point of almost torment to them. It's almost beyond what they can bear. And so it isn't an issue of, I think they're crazy. That would be what we call thought disorder. And that's totally different from mood disorders. There's four kind of disorders that are identified that we deal with: thought disorder, mood disorder, personality disorders, and anxiety disorders. And bipolar disorder is not somebody that's crazy. And yet we've often used that as a general thing. Well, I think they're bipolar, thinking that they're nuts. They might be schizophrenic or psychotic. But somebody that's bipolar, they just cannot stand the highs and the lows. They're almost climbing out of their skin when they hit the high. And when they hit the lows, they don't even want to get out of bed. The number one street medication choice for self-medication for bipolar disorder happens to be beer or wine. Bipolar disorder is too much serotonin in a person's system, and alcohol destroys serotonin as effectively as the lithium that they give them to help control bipolar disorder. So when they discover that, they often move to beer or wine, which destroys more serotonin than hard alcohol does. And so you usually get at the end of the day, a couple of beers, stop by for a beer on the way home, glass of wine or two in the evening. They usually are not alcoholics, but they have learned to measure and destroy their serotonin to a level that it brings it down into the normal range and they feel okay. But if you start at the normal range and start drinking, and then it puts you into what's called a chemical depression. That's why alcohol is called a depressant, because it takes a person with a regular amount of serotonin and it destroys it to the point where they're chemically depressed. The only way you can get serotonin is light penetration in your eyes. That is the majority of it for your body. They don't make a synthetic serotonin. They have not figured out how to do that yet. So if anybody's dealing with that, they said that you know, about 20% of them suicide, 25% of the world's population deals with this. It's an inherited thing. You got it from one or both parents. If you have it, that's where it came from. But you do not have to be bound by what was passed down. You can sever these family things that are passed on. Just because your aunt was that way, your mom was that way, your grandma that way, or your dad or your uncle or whatever, you can draw the line and say, no, we are not going to let this go another generation. It stops here. We stop it here. Another thing that they set up there, that it's incurable. It is not incurable. It is as simple in the healing area of calling your body into order that the chemicals would be at the right balance. The reason why God gave us serotonin, it's the one neurotransmitter that gives us a sense of well-being where we feel okay about life. In fact, it makes you a little bit high. Serotonin in your system gets you a little buzzed on life itself. When you don't have the serotonin, you don't feel like living. When you have the right amount, you think life is great. And it's all about God designed that. God put that in you for a reason. You're supposed to have serotonin at a level. He put 104 different neurotransmitters in your body. 104 of them, and the medical area, they only know what half of them do. They said, we know everything does something, but half of them, we don't even know why it's there. Isn't that interesting? The medical field doesn't know why half that the neurotransmitters even exist, but God knows. I mean, he put painkillers inside your body to be released. He put dopamine in you so the pleasure centers can be stimulated. He put so much stuff in us that he wants us walking in balance. There's three of those neurotransmitters that are called estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Now, if they get out of whack, you're going to go on a wild ride with your emotions too. But we call them into order as well. That time of the month, change of life, something else going on if you're in your system, they can be called into order. God is a God of order. He designed your body to be in order. And it's okay to say to your body, body, come to order. Balance out the way it's supposed to be. Isn't that a great thing? You think, well, what kind of healing is that? When you're out of balance, it affects your emotions, even as your soul prospers. That deals with your emotions. When you're in chemical balance, usually when somebody comes into our office and they're dealing with depression, we've got to go through a short list to figure out, is this a demonic attack or is this a chemical imbalance, or is this something dealing with their sugar levels? As your sugar levels crash, you go into what they call a rage, a hypoglycemic rage, where you're ready to put your fists through the wall and you don't even know why. You know, people that have diabetes, where they get too much insulin, they're hyperglycemic. Well, hypoglycemic is when you're crashing. When your glucose levels are rising, you feel a little bit high as well. There's a bit of euphoria when you eat a chocolate brownie. There's a little bit of a high there, a buzz as it's going up. As your sugar levels are dropping and they get lower, you start feeling a little out of sorts. If they crash, you're ready to hit somebody and you don't know why. And that's what's called the hypoglycemic rage. So we have to find out where their sugar levels are at and where their other neurotransmitter levels are at, especially in the estrogen, progesterone areas. And then we have to find out whether it's demonic or it might be a combination of two or all three of those things. Just because somebody sits down and says, I'm depressed, then you got to find out why. What is the source? And so as pastors, we deal with all three of those areas. We just don't jump on it and just call everything demonic. Because some of the stuff, it has nothing to do with the demon at all. It's got everything to do with calling our bodies back into order, in a balance, or learning how to manage our diet to where we're learning not to let our sugars crash or spike. That's a matter of managing our lives. So if anybody's ever dealt with mood swings at all, and of this group in here, the percentages say that 1/4 of us grew up that way. I grew up that way. Probably Pastor Shelley grew up that way. We had some of the early signs. We had people that are bipolar, often called night people. They stay up late. They often have difficulty sleeping. And then once they're out, they have difficulty waking them up. They have short-term memory loss. They struggled in the early years with their reading. They didn't do as well in school because they couldn't hold on the information long enough to get it to the test. All of these things were classic in both of our lives. And two out of three people that have it are done with it by age 19. Two out of three are completely done. I disagree with what they said. Part of the reason is I have a degree in that area, and I've studied it, and I've worked outpatient clinic for many years and inpatient hospital dealing with this stuff. Two out of three of them are done. And we think, oh, I guess they grew up. They got out of high school, and they went in the Army and went to college. I guess they finally grew up. No, they hit 19 is what they did. And they think, well, wow, they seem to be functioning better and doing well. And they were kind of out of control during their teen years. The classic bipolar disorder peaks at around age 15, about 15 to 16, and then bell curves and starts to drop off. Only one-third of the people that have bipolar disorder have it past the age 19, and usually it's completely gone between the age of 35 and 40. We rarely see bipolar disorder diagnosed past middle age. And most people that had it, by the time they're done with middle age and you met them at age 50 or 60, wouldn't even know that they had it growing up. Yet I was a classic in that area too. And it was difficult for me to be a clinician in a setting where I had to look back and say, you were classic, Gary. You had those early symptoms and probably was an undiagnosed person at that time and outgrew it in my probably early 20s. By the time I was back from overseas in the military, my life had really adjusted from leaving high school, my angry years, to where I got out of the service and went back to college. So if you've dealt with that mood swings, there's hope. There's hope because this thing is so beatable and so winnable, and I'm so glad that they put somebody up there that didn't have something that they could put their finger on physical. But most bipolar disorder is a physical thing. Now, sometimes, for example, if your thyroid is off by 5%, you're on a wild ride. So the thyroid in your body is the computer, not your brain. The thyroid balances everything. So that if you have a chemical imbalance of any kind in your body, you speak to your thyroid and say, thyroid, begin to work. Because the thyroid is what controls everything. And so you can speak to your body. It has to listen to you. You call it into order, and you call it into order again. After a while, people that are bipolar disorder, they don't spike and crash anymore. It goes into what they call cyclotimic, where they hit highs that are a little bit high, but not that high that they're not manageable. Lows that are a little depressing, but they kind of work their way out of it. And pretty soon that cyclotimic begins to level out less and less and less and less to where your body's pretty much balanced most of the time. Where you've got to still monitor what you eat, still get plenty of sleep, deal with stress properly, but call your bodies into order. If you're hyperactive too much, you need to wear sunglasses and a hat when you go outside and pick some things that aren't, oh, I'm fishing all day or I'm golfing all day. The person that is on the golf course, and oh, it's a lovely day for golf, and they're on the first tee and the fifth tee. By the time they hit the 18th hole, they're ready to wrap their club around. All they did was miss, and they're ready. Or the person that went out fishing, and they started out, and it was great, and by 3-4 hours of sunshine later, they miss one, and they're cussing, and they're ready to throw their pole in the water. You go, what happened? The answer was, their body started going out of balance. They didn't wear a hat. They didn't put sunglasses on. And serotonin just surged in their system. You can learn your body and then make adjustments there as well. People that are depressed need to be outside 30 to 60 minutes a day. Even if you're driving your vehicle, the sunshine that comes through the window is sufficient to get your serotonin levels up. But you've got to be outside, whether it's taking a walk or riding a bike, 30 to 60 minutes a day, or you won't have enough serotonin in your system and you're going to be depressed. Why? Chemically depressed. Because God designed you to receive this sense of well-being by being outside in the sunshine. Isn't that interesting? Now, some people that are depressed Well, I took a walk and I went down by the lake, and when I came back, you know, an hour later, I guess I felt a little better. You know, the water and the trees, they help a little bit. It's probably because you were outside. Yeah, I like water and I like trees. But when we learn some of these things, we don't have to have this horrible life and hide as a Christian saying, I hope nobody notices what swings I'm going through on the inside. I cover well in church. But they're when they get home or they're having a rough day, they're frustrated. They do want to put their fish through the wall or pull the cover over their head, and they're hoping that nobody else notices, not realizing that a lot of the Christian church goes through this. And it's fixable. First of all, by Jesus' stripes, he gave us the power and the ability to call things that are not as though they were. What do we, the are not is my body are not in balance, and it needs to be. I call it into order right now in Jesus' name. In fact, let's do that right now together. Let's put our hand on our body. I don't even know where my thyroid is, do you? It's inside. That's all we know. Somewhere up here, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, is this where it is? Okay, I like that. Okay. And say this after me. In Jesus' name, I call my body into order. Body, you obey the words of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. Now, if you have to do that every day or a couple of days or whenever it starts to go out of whack, call your body into order. It will work. Pastor Shelley learned this many years ago. Back in the day, before she went through a change of life, she'd hit that time of the month. And I would say, it's getting near that time, huh? And she'd be like, how do you know? It's like, okay. And so here's what she would do. She would call her body into order. When she would do that, I wouldn't even notice. We'd breeze right through those rough times, and it's like, wow. The times that she didn't, I'd notice. And we discovered in her life years ago that what a difference marriage we had and family life we had on the months that she called her body into order. And she had to get a head start on it. She had sometimes jump on it, you know. But she learned to do that, and we saw the results, and we thought, wow, this works. So praise God. I'm using all your time and talking about you, if that's okay. Bless God. So anyway, I just want to encourage you that this kind of healing takes place. Pastor Shelley has been pounding on it and pounding on it, and part of her next book that she's writing is going to be Even As Your Soul Prospers, in order to, you know, wish that you would be in health even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, so does your physical health. Praise God. Bless God. There is hope for the mood swings. And somebody that, and if you ever picked up a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD or bipolar disorder or manic depression, call it into order. They're the same thing, by the way. A child with ADD or ADHD is just too much serotonin. That's why they give them Ritalin to knock down the levels of serotonin. It's a stimulant. They give Adderall to adults. Quite often, it can be controlled with caffeine. Giving a child a cup of coffee, a real caffeine, people freak out. Don't give a Mountain Dew. It's full of sugar and caffeine. And yet, it's probably the thing that would calm them down. Somebody that's dealing with that. And so quite effectively for years in the clinic, when people didn't want to be on prescription meds, we put them on a regimen of drinking regular coffee, cup of coffee in the morning, a kid, cup of coffee at noon. It lasts about 6 hours with a half-life, and we get the same results as Ritalin. We'd keep them inside more than outside and give them caffeine, and it had the same effect as Ritalin. So even adults, a cup or two of coffee with caffeine, if it has a calming effect on you, then that's one of the benefits of it. Now, if you drink six cups and you're climbing the walls, that's not good. So you need to learn whether exactly if it's one or two or three cups. If you're like, oh, where's my coffee? And you go, I'm okay now. Well, then that it's working for you because it's an excellent replacement for Adderall or Ritalin. It works just as effectively. So don't freak out about coffee or that. Too much can drive you up a wall, but in measured amounts, it'll help you. So hopefully that's helpful to you or some other people you know or your own family or your helps you understand a few more things. People with bipolar are not crazy. Anybody can go into a psychotic split from reality episode no matter what disorder they have, or anybody on any drugs or alcohol or drinking or prescriptions could. But bipolar disorder is not somebody that's insane. They're not crazy at all. Sometimes they think, I wonder if I am, but they're not. It is not anything to do with somebody that is disoriented or broken from reality. They're not. They know exactly what's going on. They just don't know how to fix it. But now, with Jesus Christ, the fix is in. Hallelujah. It's okay if I close, hon? I ran it way over. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you for your holy written word, the words of Jesus Christ, and by his stripes we claim them tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your will and your purpose goes forward. We call your will into our lives and we cooperate with it. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus, and we love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless God. Thank you for being here tonight. We're dismissed.